Chapter number one, I do trust to be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter number one, in fact, will be in this passage of Scripture this morning, and then again this afternoon. Matthew chapter number one, I'll begin reading in verse 18, and I'll read down through verse number 25. And as you are turning there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter number one, you will understand that as you study the Word of God, you will discover that one way that God reveals Himself to mankind is through His names. We find that in the Old Testament, we find a number of different names that are ascribed to our God that would reveal to us certain attributes, certain characteristics of our God. Why? Because one name is not sufficient to fully describe all that He is or all that He does. And so we find that God has chosen one means by which He has revealed Himself to mankind is through His names. I'm thankful that God would be willing to reveal Himself to mankind, aren't you? And what a great joy and a great blessing that the God of the universe, the God of heaven, loved us so much that He would not only come to this earth to die for us, to be buried and to rise again, but we understand that He's given us a book, the Bible, and He has revealed Himself to us. We understand that the Bible tells us in the Old Testament that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. We find that in Psalm 19. But the full revelation of God is given to us in the precious Word of God, and I'm thankful that God has made Himself known. In this record that is before us in Matthew chapter number 1, we find that Matthew is providing us with really the conversation, if you will, that takes place between the angel of the Lord and Joseph regarding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In these few verses that record the interaction between Joseph and the angel of the Lord, it's very interesting that we are given two names for the one whose birth we remember at this time of year. The incarnation is the term that we use to describe this wonderful birth of Jesus. It's when God was robed in flesh. That's what the word incarnation means. Notice with me in verse number 18 of Matthew 1, the Bible says this: "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." What a great miracle, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Notice this conversation, this instruction that the angel gives to Joseph. The angel says, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." In verse number 21, you see that the Bible says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus." And then in verse number 23, the second name that is given in this passage of Scripture, it says that they shall call his name Emmanuel. This morning, we'll focus on verse number 21. This afternoon, we'll focus on verse number 23. But we find that in this text of Scripture, the Bible reveals to us this name Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. We find that the word Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. And think about the tie that God would be given with that name to the Old Testament, Jehovah God, the self-existent one, the one that made himself known to his people Israel. He's now saying, the angel of the Lord says to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Jehovah is salvation. We understand the incarnation when God was robed in flesh, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God came to this earth and He became a man. He never stopped being God. He is the God-man. He's 100% God, 100% man. It's a great truth of God's Word. And I'm so thankful that He came. If you were to read the book of Hebrews in the second chapter, you will find that He came and He made Himself, took upon Himself the form of a man, the seed of Abraham. Why? So that He could redeem us. That's the only way that mankind could be redeemed, was by God dying for us. Now think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ coming to this sin-cursed world and dying for us. We look at this name Jesus, and just a few thoughts this morning that I hope would be a blessing to and an encouragement to you. If you are taking notes, number one, Jesus is a prophetic name. It is a prophetic name. Why shalt thou call His name Jesus? Well, the text of Scripture tells us that in verse number 21, as the angel of the Lord is giving this message to Joseph, the Bible says in verse number 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? "For He shall save His people from their sins." Oh, that's a prophetic name, the name of Jesus. We begin to understand that even at the very announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, that the purpose for His birth is in plain view. The choir sang to start our service this morning, "Born to Die." We understand that before the foundation of the world, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb that is slain before the foundation of the world. And we understand that when He came to this earth, when He was born, this time of year that we celebrate, that even at the announcement of His birth, as Joseph was pondering these things and trying to figure out what was going on, and God in His grace and mercy allowed that angel to show up and speak to Joseph and say, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? "For He," Jesus, this one that's going to be born, "He shall save His people from their sins." How is He going to accomplish that? Well, I'm glad that you asked. We find that the Bible, as I've mentioned already, has given us great truth and revealed to us the plan of God. And as I've mentioned that Jesus is a prophetic name, we find that the saving from sins that is referenced with regard to the name Jesus would be accomplished through the death, burial, and glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about the birth of Christ. I'm so thankful that He came, but we understand that we do not worship a babe in a manger. We find that though He went to that cruel cross and He bled and He died, He's no longer on the cross, and we have an empty cross because He went to a borrowed tomb and He rose, conquering sin, death, and the grave. The Bible tells us that 40 days later, after His resurrection, that He ascended up into heaven. The disciples were there and witnessed this wonderful account. And the Bible tells us that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. The story's not over. One day, one glorious day, He's coming back, and what a great day that's going to be. But as we focus this morning upon this prophetic name Jesus, that Joseph is given this word from the angel that He shall save His people from their sins. Notice what the Bible says. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Galatians. I want to look at just a few verses of Scripture this morning to help us to really understand this prophetic name Jesus. In the book of Galatians, in the fourth chapter, we find that the Bible will tell us, reveal to us the same truth that we're dealing with of the purpose of Christ's birth. His name, Jesus, being prophetic. In Galatians 4, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Notice why. Notice in verse number 5, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." How? We find in Matthew, it says, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. As Paul is writing to these churches in Galatia, he says that God sent forth his Son at the appointed time when the fullness of time was come, right when God had given the prophecy with regard to the birth of Christ, and he sent forth his Son for what purpose? To redeem them. The Bible tells us that redemption comes only through the blood of Christ. What a great truth, and you don't need to turn there. I'll read the verse of Scripture for you, but in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 14, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow, how that verse of Scripture in Colossians 1 and verse number 14 brings the truth of Matthew 1:21 and Galatians 4:5 together and helps us to understand that redemption alone through Jesus Christ, through His precious blood. See, all mankind has a sin problem. It's a universal condition. The Bible says back in Genesis chapter number 3 that Satan came as a serpent into that garden. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. The Bible tells us that when he entered into that garden, he challenged what God had said. He says, yea, hath God said. Then later he says, ye shall not surely die. We find that Eve partook of that forbidden fruit and then gave to her husband Eve, and at that moment, sin entered into the world. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans in the 5th chapter that all have sinned. It says that just as Adam has sinned, sin has been passed on. In Romans chapter number 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all, and that's all that all means. That's what a professor of mine told me in Bible college. What a simple statement, but how precious the truth is. Sin is a universal condition. Every single person has this issue of sin. But the remedy is Jesus, the blood of Christ. And we find that the prophetic name of Jesus, that He came for the purpose of saving His people from their sins. And I'm so thankful that the greatest need of mankind is to be saved from their sins. If our greatest need was to receive education, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need, you can just continue to fill in the blank. But the greatest need, oh, Jesus taught, He was a great preacher. But our greatest need is salvation because we have a sin problem. See, there's nothing you can do to atone for your sin. There's nothing that I can do to atone for my sin. Oh, we find that there are countless ways in which mankind has come up with on how they might think that they could handle this problem of sin, and they think that perhaps they could do good works, they could do this, that, or the other thing, and we find that all of that is foreign to what God's Word teaches. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's what the Bible says. It is a gift. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm so thankful that God has revealed to me and to you in His precious Word, the Bible, that I can't earn my way to heaven, and neither can you. Try as you might, do all the good things that you think you could do, and we still fall short. Why? Because the blood of Christ is the only payment that is accepted for sin. We find that Jesus came to pay that wonderful price. We find, again, you don't need to turn there, but in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony. As he shares his testimony in that portion of Scripture, he says this, this is a faithful saying, a truthful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's what Paul says. That's his testimony. So what does he say? He says, this is a true saying. It's a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. Again, the tie back to Matthew chapter number 1, when that angel of the Lord said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus is a prophetic name. Why? Because he says, he shall save his people from their sins. And Paul says he came, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. Peter would say this in Acts 4 in verse number 12. He says, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name that Peter is referencing? It's the name of Jesus. A great miracle had taken place a chapter before, and all of these folks are wondering, how is this man made whole? And Peter stands and says, listen, it's not in my name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man is made whole. And then he says, and there's no other name, that name, Jesus. I'm so thankful for salvation through Christ. You know, today, I mentioned a moment ago that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And that's found in Hebrews 7 and verse number 25. But before the Bible says that statement, it tells us this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm so thankful that some, I don't even know at this point, 25 years ago, God in his grace and his mercy revealed to me that I was a sinner and that he was the only Savior. And 25 years ago, I understood that there was nothing I could do to get to heaven on my own. Work as I might, do all the things that they say are good things to do, but I would fall short. God graciously revealed the truth to me, and I can testify this morning that he is able to save. In faith, I cried out, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that you're the Savior. Would you save me? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, when we think about the name of Jesus, Joseph is told, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? He, Jesus, shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, number one, is a prophetic name. Let me say this, number two. Jesus is a precious name. It's a precious name. Philippians chapter number 2, we'll finish in this passage of Scripture with our last couple of points this morning. Here in the book of Philippians in the second chapter. Jesus is a prophetic name, but Jesus is a precious name. Oh, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, how precious that name Jesus is. I hear the name Jesus and I think of all that he is to me and all that he's done for me and how wonderful he is. He's a precious name. It grieves me deeply when I hear people use the name of my Savior inappropriately. When they take the name of my God in vain, it grieves me. Why? Because that's Jesus, my Savior. He loves me and I love him. And we find this morning that when we understand the precious name of Jesus, we know that many have written songs about how sweet the name Jesus is. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, the songwriter said. And certainly it is. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because we know what that name Jesus means and all that it encapsulates. Here in Philippians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 5, the Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But notice what he did. He made himself of no reputation. That's when he came to this earth. It says here that he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He never ceased being God. How do we know? Remember when he was on the ship? There was a great storm. He was sleeping. Why was he sleeping? Because he was a man. He needed rest. But they awoke the master, and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus, God Almighty in flesh, he came out and he said, peace. I think he raised his hand. Maybe he didn't. I just in my mind's eye see, peace, be still. What happened? Immediately there was a calm. He's the God-man. It tells us in verse number 8, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Wow. Just that statement right there is so deep. To think that the God of the universe would humble himself to be robed in flesh so that you could be saved, so that I could be saved. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But here it is. Jesus is a precious name. Notice in verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Oh, the precious name of Jesus. It's interesting, as we think about the truth of Philippians 2 and verse number 9, that the Bible says that he's given him a name which is above every name. It's a precious name. When we hear that name Jesus, what is it that you think? Immediately when you hear the name Jesus, what comes to your mind? My Savior. My Redeemer. I'm so thankful this morning that it's a prophetic name. It's a precious name. But as we continue here in Philippians 2, we see number 3, Jesus is a powerful name. It's a powerful name. Prophetic. He shall save his people from their sins. It's a precious name. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse number 10, it is a powerful name. Notice what the Bible says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Wow. There's an aspect of prophecy in these verses of Scripture as well. But I know the powerful nature of the name of Jesus. In verse number 10, it says that every knee should bow. That means every knee. Every knee. Not most, but every knee. You say, well, there are some people I know. Every knee. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Notice verse 11, that every tongue, not most, every tongue should what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, that he is Messiah, the promised one. All of the Old Testament prophecies, that he is who he claimed to be. He's God. We find here, when we consider the truth of this, these two verses of Scripture, the power in the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. I've often, as I looked at this portion of Scripture, I've often said over the years that really it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Because every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. It's not a matter of if. It will happen. It's a matter of when. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's the truth of God's Word. When makes all the difference. On August 31st, 1997, I bowed my knee, and with my tongue I confessed that Jesus was Lord. And I placed my faith and trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Christ alone. Not Christ plus anything. Not Christ and my works. Not Christ and baptism. Not Christ and the Lord's Supper. No, Christ alone. I bowed my knee, and with my tongue I made confession, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I received him as my personal Savior. I receive that gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because I did that when I did, I'm still alive today, so I did it on this side of eternity. And that means for all of eternity, I will live with my Savior. Why? Because he saved me and he gave me the gift of God, which is eternal life. And so for all of eternity, I'll be with my Savior. Amen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Many here this morning, I know your testimonies personally, and you too bowed your knee to Christ, and you with your tongue confessed that He's Lord, and you received Him as your personal Savior on this side of eternity. And therefore, you'll spend eternity with Him. What a great truth of God's Word. The Bible reveals to us in the book of Revelation that there's a judgment that will one day come. The judgment is the great white throne judgment. The Bible speaks of that judgment as being a final judgment, and one in which the words depart from me, that are they're cast in the lake of fire. The sentence is the second death. The Bible says of those that have confessed Christ as their Savior that the second death hath no power on them. What a wonderful truth. When I say that when makes all the difference, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because at the great white throne judgment, every single person that did not bow their knee or confess with their tongue on this side of eternity will at that judgment bow their knee and confess with their tongue that Jesus is Lord. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and when makes all the difference. Because when they bow their knee and with their tongue make confession at the great white throne judgment, it's eternally too late. They will still be cast in the lake of fire. You say, preacher, that's sad. It is. It's unfortunate that anyone, God didn't create you to send you to a lake of fire. He created you because He loves you. And He wants to save you. For many here this morning, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But maybe, just maybe, there's someone here this morning that has never trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe you've been taught some other form of teaching that you need to be a good person or do good things or whatever else it might be. But the authority of the Word of God, the Bible plainly teaches, for by grace are you saved through faith. It tells us that in Ephesians chapter number 2, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we rejoice in understanding the truth of the Word of God this morning. At the very announcement for the one whose birth we celebrate this season, the name Jesus was given. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Oh, that's a prophetic name. He shall save His people from their sins. Oh, it's a precious name. Indeed, I agree with the songwriter, it is the sweetest name I know. It's a powerful name. This morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why not today? Paul says in writing to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians, he says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Again, the powerful name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Not if, but when. And if you've not done that yet, today, God extends to you an open invitation. He says, I love you and I died for you. You're celebrating my birth, but I was born to die. I was born, I came because I loved you. And the only way you could be redeemed was through my death, my precious blood, my burial, and my resurrection. And today I offer to you this wonderful gift of eternal life. Oh, this morning, if you've already received that gift, I hope you'd rejoice greatly. And being reminded this morning of how wonderful the name of Jesus is and how grateful we are that someone took the time to tell us about Jesus. But if you've not been saved, oh, I plead with you this morning. Don't let another day go by without knowing for sure that heaven is your home. We'd love to take a Bible. I've already told you everything you need to know. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. The Bible tells us, for whosoever That means anybody. Fill in your name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? My sins. Remember the name Jesus? He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Oh, how we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time of year that we can remember the incarnation when God was robed in flesh. Oh, how grateful we are for the name Jesus. It's a prophetic name. It's a precious name. It's a powerful name. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for the many that are here that have shared with me personally their testimony that they have trusted Christ as their Savior. They recognize they were a sinner and Jesus is the only Savior. They called out and you saved them. God, maybe there's one here this morning. It's not sure of heaven. I remember being in that place. I remember the days of sitting in a church and hearing the preaching and having no assurance because I had not yet trusted Christ as my Savior. Hoping that when I died, I'd go to heaven. But now I'm so thankful. After knowing the truth of your word, receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life, there's a confidence, an assurance that heaven is my home. God, I pray that you'd move and work. The Holy Spirit of God would take the word of God and minister as only you can. We'll be careful to give the honor and glory for every decision that is made. For it's in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus we do pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. At the end of each of our services, we have a time of invitation. We extend to you an invitation to respond to the message. This morning, if you've trusted Christ, maybe you want to come to this altar and just thank Him for being your Savior. Maybe this morning you've never been saved. Maybe this morning you need to come and trust Christ as your personal Savior. As Kimberly plays, the altar is open.